If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door, no insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
On Friday, February 27th, 2026, it was a warm morning in Albuquerque, New Mexico, when retired Air Force Major General William Neil McCasland stepped out of his life and simply vanished. This was a man who for years sat at the center of the United States' deepest secrets, the man who ran the lab at the Wright-Patterson Air Force Base, the same base long rumored to hide the wreckage from the 1947 Roswell, New Mexico incident. He had briefed generals, signed off on billion-dollar black projects, and if some insiders are to be believed, he has seen things the public still isn't supposed to know. His phone, glasses, and smartwatch are left neatly behind. His gun, wallet, and a backpack he owns are suddenly missing. Cameras cover both ends of his quiet street, yet no one can say which way he walked or if he ever truly walked out at all. No confirmed sightings, no body, no ransom. Just a man who holds some of the darkest secrets known to mankind. Did a 68-year-old general with a mental fog wander into the foothills and never come back? Did someone remove him because of what he knew? Or what he might finally be ready to say? Or did he decide on his own that the only way to stay alive was to disappear before they came knocking? On today's episode, we're going to pull on every one of those threads, from leaked emails, congressional whispers, to the eerie silence on that quiet Albuquerque cul-de-sac. This is the story of a general who knew too much. So before diving into this podcast, who is William Neil McCasland? Retired U.S. Air Force Major General William Neil McCasland, 68, is a decorated aerospace and defense figure whose career placed him at the pinnacle of America's most secret military research programs. He graduated from the U.S. Air Force Academy in 1979 with a Bachelor of Science in Astronautical Engineering and commissioned into the Air Force that very same year. And over the following three decades, McCasland accumulated an extraordinary portfolio of classified and high-profile roles. From 1997 through 2000, McCasland was chief engineer for the Department of Defense's Global Positioning System, GPS program, which would give him oversight of the entire GPS satellite constellation and ground control segment, the system that the entire planet now depends on for navigation, timing, banking, power grids, and weapons guidance. From April 2000 to September 2001, he was System Program Director for the Space-Based Laser Project Office at the Los Angeles Air Force Base, which was a program that explored the possibilities of having high-energy laser weapons in orbit in order to shoot down enemy missiles or even disable satellites. From June 2009 to May 2011, he served as Director of Special Programs in the Office of the Undersecretary of Defense for Acquisition, Technology, and Logistics, based at the Pentagon. This made him the Executive Secretary of the Special Access Program Oversight Committee, the body that reviews and oversees all of America's most sensitive special access programs, which is where the crown jewel black projects live, such as exotic aircraft, stealth, advanced space systems, cutting-edge sensors, cyber and information warfare capabilities. The stuff that's so secret that even many generals and members of Congress are read out. And from May 2011 until his retirement in 2013, he commanded Air Force Research Laboratory, AFRL, at the Wright-Patterson Air Force Base. Now, the Wright-Patterson Air Force Base in Dayton, Ohio, is the base most associated with UFO lore. Back when Roswell happened, it was known as Wright Field, location that was rumored to have once hosted the crash debris and wreckage from the 1947 Roswell, New Mexico UFO crash, which would be subjected to analysis by specialists on the base. On July 8, 1947, a press release from the ranch near Roswell announced a flying disc had been recovered. However, later that same day, the military issued a correction, saying that the debris was just a weather balloon, later revealed to have been tied to a secret program called Project Mogul. And from then on, the official line was firmly not a real UFO. In the 1970s, writer and UFO advocate Robert Spencer Carr began publicly claiming that alien corpses from a 1948 crash near Aztec, New Mexico were stored in a highly restricted hangar at Wright-Patterson. Carr called this location Hangar 18 and said that it housed both UFO wreckage and preserved extraterrestrial bodies. However, the U.S. Air Force has repeatedly stated that there is no Hangar 18 at Wright-Patterson and no alien material stored there. Researchers who dug into the base's layout point out that there is a complex known as Building 18, historically associated with sensitive engineering and test work, and that Building 18 likely morphed into the more dramatic Hangar 18 in UFO lore. From 1952 to 1969, the Air Force ran Project Blue Book, a systematic program to log, analyze, and explain UFO reports. Blue Book's headquarters were at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base, where analysts, scientists, and officers processed more than 12,000 UFO case files. Its stated goals are to determine whether UFOs posed any threat to national security and to conduct scientific analysis of UFO-related data. By 1969, the Air Force, citing the Condon Report, publicly shut down Blue Book, declaring that there was no evidence that UFOs were a threat or represented anything beyond misidentifications and natural phenomena. They boxed up about 50 cubic feet of records and artifacts and shipped them to Maxwell Air Force Base for archival research access. As you can see, McCaslin was pretty involved up until his retirement from the Air Force in 2013. However, just 3 years later, a leak would come out. It was October 7th, 2016, when WikiLeaks released emails belonging to John Podesta, Hillary Clinton's campaign chairman, as part of a Russian spear phishing operation aimed at the 2016 election. Podesta had thought he received a legit Google security alert asking him to reset his password, but after entering his credentials, over 50,000 emails were stolen. In the midst of those emails, one particular email stood out. Back in January 2016, a man named Tom DeLong had sent the following email titled, General McCasland. He mentioned he's a skeptic. He's not. I've been working with him for 4 months. I just got done giving him a 4-hour presentation on the entire project a few weeks ago. Trust me, the advice has already been happening on how to do all of this. He just has to say that out loud. But he is very, very aware as he was in charge of all of the stuff. When Roswell crashed, they shipped it to the laboratory at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base. General McCasland was in charge of that exact laboratory up to a couple of years ago. He not only knows what I'm trying to achieve, he helped assemble my advisory team. He's a very important man. Tom DeLong is an American musician and UFO obsessive who became a kind of crossover figure between pop punk and UAP disclosure. He's best known as the co-founder, guitarist, and co-lead vocalist of Blink 182, the band behind hits like All the Small Things and What's My Age Again. My personal favorite, I Miss You. Outside music, he's built an entertainment and research outfit called To the Stars, later To the Stars Academy of Arts and Sciences, which mixes books, films, and a science arm focused on UFOs and breakthrough technologies. Long has spent years cultivating contacts in the military and intelligence world, positioning himself as a bridge between insiders and the public on UFO and UAP topics, which is how figures like General McCasland ended up in his orbit and later in his leaked emails. McCasland-DeLong connection was essentially invisible to the public until the Podesta emails dropped. DeLong's work with high-level advisors was public in a vague way, but he wasn't actually naming people or saying McCasland's name in interviews. In a now-famous Facebook post from July 4th, 2016, he writes, "I need high-ranking advisors in the military, intelligence, and Department of Defense to help guide me." And that he was given 10 advisors, each with knowledge in different areas. He also shares that, "I landed on the tarmac, walked off the plane, and met a smart, fit man in his 60s, a multi-star general. The general, widely understood to be McCasland." A calendar entry from the same period shows that McCasland's wife accepted a meeting request involving Podesta and DeLong, inferring that Podesta himself wasn't just on the end of an email chain, but he was also potentially involved with McCasland as well. Now, why was Podesta involved in all of this? Well, Podesta was a perfect political ally for DeLong, sharing a UFO obsession. Podesta has been on record stating that his biggest failure in the Obama White House was not securing UFO disclosure. DeLong's connection with Podesta would help him secure A-level officials, and had Hillary Clinton won the presidency, he would have had a strong connection in the White House. After the leak, McCasland never spoke about it, and we didn't get much closure on this relationship until only recently after his disappearance. According to his wife, Susan, McCasland briefly worked as an unpaid consultant for DeLong's UFO-focused organization, To the Stars, work that he found interesting to be part of as someone who lived a retired lifestyle. His wife also described McCasland's role as lending verisimilitude to DeLong's fiction books and media activities on military and technical scientific matters, essentially providing a sense of realism to his work in an effort to make it not sound naive or fake, although the end product was deemed entirely fictional. Susan would reiterate that he was not dumping anything classified into his consultation work. Following the leaks, McCasland pulled back from his connection to DeLong, and also from the wider UFO disclosure community.
If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door. No insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight Loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
The new Wegovy pill is now available through Weight Watchers. Powerful GLP-1 results in a simple pill at the lowest price available. And with Weight Watchers, you can get doctor support and personalized nutrition programs. See if you qualify at weightwatchers.com. Ad not reviewed or approved by Novo Nordisk.
I fast forward to McCaslin's disappearance. On February 27th, 2026, almost 1 month ago, McCaslin disappeared from his home in Albuquerque, New Mexico, within a window of less than 1 hour. Around 10 a.m. that day, a repairman arrived at McCaslin's home and interacted with him while doing work there. At 11:10 a.m., his wife Susan left for a medical appointment. It was 12:04 p.m. when she would come back home. She would go inside the house and was surprised to see Neil gone. He wasn't outside in the backyard either. And what was weird was that the items that he typically always had on him, such as his phone, prescription glasses, and a smartwatch, were all still inside the house. Unaccounted for included his wallet, 38 caliber revolver with a leather holster, and a red backpack. Susan began calling family and friends, and no one had no idea where he was. Nobody had heard from him, and there was no note, no plant outing, no car leaving the driveway that anyone could confirm. And after a few hours of this, just after 3 p.m., she concluded that this wasn't just a quick errand or miscommunication. It was completely out of character and potentially dangerous given his recent mental fog that he reported to have had. And Susan called authorities to report him missing, which triggered the formal investigation and later the Silver Alert. This mental fog that McCaslin had mentioned experiencing is cited as the reason he had stepped down from certain organizations that he had been working with. However, investigators were careful to clarify that there's no indication and we are not putting forward that Mr. McCaslin was disoriented or confused. Arguably, he would still be the most intelligent person in the room that any of us would be in, stated by Lieutenant Cal Woods of the Bernalillo County Sheriff's Office. On March 7, 2026, a gray U.S. Air Force sweatshirt was discovered approximately 1.25 miles east of McCaslin's home. Initial testing found that there was no blood on the garment, and the sweatshirt has not been confirmed to have belonged to him. However, the discovery triggered a targeted expanded search in the immediate area. It was only on March 11, 2026, that the Federal Bureau of Investigation, the FBI, officially joined the search, working alongside the Sheriff's Office. The FBI's involvement was primarily to expand investigative resources. No evidence of federal crime or national security breach was officially stated. On March 16th through the 20th of 2026, an unseasonably warm spring in New Mexico severely hampered thermal drone searches. Lieutenant Wood stated, "The mountain was just lit up like a candle. We couldn't differentiate from heat signatures and the heat from the rocks." People who volunteered to search independently reported seeing little law enforcement presence in the field, raising concerns about the comprehensiveness of ground efforts. And as of today, as I record this podcast on March 24th, McCasland has not been found, and his fate still remains unknown. And the timing of all of this is pretty strange. McCasland's disappearance came just days after President Donald Trump announced on Truth Social that he was directing the Pentagon and other federal agencies to release government records related to extraterrestrial life and UFOs. This timing is widely noted in UFO community discussions and mainstream reporting as adding a layer of intrigue to the case. The Pentagon's UAP office, AARO, All Domain Anomaly Resolution Office, confirmed it was working in close coordination with the White House and across federal agencies to consolidate existing UAP records collections and facilitate the expeditious release of never-before-seen UAP information. This charged political environment, the disappearance of a general with documented ties to early UFO disclosure efforts, became a flashpoint for speculation. Now here come the theories. Theory number one, he is in hiding. March 12, 2026, that was the date that Air Force veteran and UFO whistleblower Jason Sands appears on the YouTube channel Red Panda Koala with his theory that McCasland went into voluntary hiding. Jason Sands is a retired U.S. Air Force Master Sergeant who served 22 years in the Air Force, retiring in 2007. His service took him to Nellis Air Force Range in Nevada, the same complex that includes the infamous Area 51, Groom Lake. He describes his role there as analyzing phone taps on base personnel to check for security violations. And he claims that he was shocked to hear conversations indicating that tall whites and grays, alleged alien species, were working at the facility. Now, some of Sands' accounts were pretty wild. It may be more worth getting deeper into in another episode of the podcast, so make sure you subscribe if you're listening, because I will be working on this in a future episode. But to keep things concise, Sands has publicly described a childhood UFO sighting at age 10. He witnessed a video of a flying saucer maneuvering at the Nellis Range that was subsequently leaked to the internet in 1994. He had a direct encounter with a non-human being that ran to his truck in freezing cold on the base, reportedly appearing to have enormous eyes, essentially no ears, and requesting assistance telepathically. And he had involvement in what he calls the Legacy Program, a term he uses to refer to classified UFO crash retrieval and reverse engineering programs. Sands has appeared in James Fox's documentary, The Program, and was a guest on the Joe Rogan Experience on episode 2264. He has also established the First Hand Fund, an initiative helping UAP witnesses share their experiences. Now, in his most recent appearance on March 12th on the Red Panda Koala podcast, Sands offers his assessment. There's a protocol within the Legacy Program that if you are one of the people they consider key personnel and something is happening, they think you are at risk or you are a risk, they will come and take you to their facilities and hide you away. Or if they think you're a threat, they will come murder you. He continued, I think he is in hiding with some friends. He's safe. He left his cell phone and everything else behind because he didn't want to be traceable. Good for him, and I hope he's going to stay hidden until the time when it's safe for him to come back. That's my feeling, that this is of his own accord. If you knew what he knows, you'd think, oh crap, they're going to come get me now. And I think that's what motivated him, because of what he can confirm or deny. And he knows because of that, he's a target. Now to support this theory, there are several different factors I'll cite again. He left his phone behind, which was highly out of character. His gun, wallet, and backpack being missing suggests deliberate preparation. The timing of Trump's UFO disclosure announcement just days before. His documented role as a key UFO disclosure advisor for Tom DeLong. And the mental fog health issue may have been a convenient pretext to quietly exit public life. A theory 2. Foul play. McCasland was abducted, eliminated, or forcibly removed by parties who wanted to silence him before Trump's UFO disclosure pushed classified program information into the open. His clean disappearance within a one-hour window with no surveillance footage confirming his direction looks professional. Now here are some more things to keep in mind for this theory. The surveillance cameras covered both ends of his street, yet there were no confirmed sightings. Former whistleblower David Grush had reportedly tried to contact McCasland prior to his disappearance. Representative Eric Burleson told the Weaponized podcast with George Knapp that McCasland has been pretty difficult to communicate with, and that every time someone had reached out, he has said that he has nothing to say. Knapp described the situation as a pants-on-fire moment, suggesting that something doesn't add up. In a News Nation segment about McCasland's disappearance, former Obama-era State Department and Department of Defense analyst Merrick von Rennenkampf says that people with knowledge of UAP crash retrieval and reverse engineering programs have, for years, expressed they fear for their lives if they speak out. He paraphrases this as whistleblowers who literally fear death for telling Congress what they know. Senator Kirsten Gillibrand, who helped write UAP legislation, has said that some high-level officials fear death or serious retaliation for talking to Congress about UAP programs. Senator Marco Rubio has likewise stated that individuals with very high clearances and high positions have come in with first-hand knowledge and are fearful of harm coming to them if their identities become known. Whistleblower David Grush told Congress he faced retaliation, even facing what he would allege as administrative terrorism by senior leadership. Threats to his career, reputation, punitive use of clearances and internal processes against him and colleagues, and efforts to block or punish their attempts to speak to Congress about UAP programs. In 2023, The Intercept published police and mental health records about him being involuntarily committed in 2014 and 2018 for PTSD, alcohol issues, and suicidal statements. Grush has stated that those were past struggles with PTSD, grief, and depression, and argues that surfacing them now is part of an effort to discredit him after he came forward. In 2024, he sued the local sheriff's office for releasing those records, claiming that his privacy was violated. Grush has withheld certain names and sources and methods because he didn't want people with first-hand exposure to non-human tech to suffer even more for cooperating. Now here's theory number 3, mental health crisis, which I personally feel is highly unlikely. McCasland has reported experiencing mental fog before his disappearance. Because of this, the Silver Alert was issued under New Mexico protocol for individuals showing irreversible deterioration of intellectual faculties. He may have gone on an unplanned hike and become disoriented or lost in the Sandia Mountains foothills near his home. Caslin was a known avid hiker in the nearby foothills. As stated earlier, a gray Air Force sweatshirt was found 1.25 miles east towards the mountains. A green shirt and hiking boots at his second home could indicate that he made his way there, which was reportedly clothes that he may have worn on his way out, though that house is roughly 200 miles away, as it is located in Pagosa Springs, Colorado. So I feel that he most likely would have been spotted somewhere in between. Reddit commenters have noted that undiagnosed mental health conditions like depression or mania can cause individuals to depart abruptly without adequate supplies. However, this theory may not be credible, given investigators themselves have repeatedly said that he was highly intelligent and showed no indication of being disoriented at the time. He was 68, physically active, and an experienced outdoorsman. Leaving his glasses behind when he was dependent on prescription eyewear complicates a simple hike-gone-wrong explanation. Now, there are a few more theories that I have not covered, but those are the three that stood out the most to me. Now, if this story wasn't strange enough already, there's another name we need to talk about, because McCasland isn't the only person connected to his world of research who has recently vanished. Her name is Monica Reza. Monica Jacinto Reza was a 60-year-old aerospace engineer, a genuine rocket scientist. She worked at Aerojet Rocketdyne on advanced materials for rockets and reusable spacecraft. In particular, she was credited as an inventor on a nickel-based superalloy called Mondaloy, a metal designed to survive brutal temperatures inside engines that go to space and come back again. That work wasn't just some private lab project. It was funded by the Air Force Research Laboratory, AFRL, the very same lab that General McCaslin commended at Wright-Patterson. On June 22, 2025, Monica Reza went hiking in the Angeles National Forest outside Los Angeles on the Mount Waterman Trail along the Angeles Crest Highway. She wasn't out there alone. According to her hiking companion and later reporting, Monica was walking just behind them on the trail, close enough to smile and wave. The companion looked forward, kept walking, and when they glanced back again, Monica was gone. There were no screams, no obvious fall, no phone call, just an empty trail. Search teams went in hard. Helicopters, ground crews, canines, drones, volunteers. And for days, they scoured the Mount Waterman area, and they found nothing. No body, no backpack, no shoe, no phone ping they've made public. Her family and friends set up pages and campaigns begging for information. But as of today, she has never been located. On its own, it's a haunting missing hiker case. But when General McCaslin vanished just months later, people started to notice the overlap. In the end, all we really have is a vanishing act wrapped around a man who spent his life in the shadows of America's deepest programs. A general who oversaw black projects, advised a rock star on UFO fiction, appeared by name in hacked campaign emails, and then stepped out of his house one warm February morning and never came back. Just months after a rocket scientist tied to his lab's Mondaloy program vanished without a trace on a California mountain trail. Maybe he walked into the foothills in a moment of confusion, and the desert simply kept him. Maybe someone decided that, with the UFO files about to be pried open and Congress sniffing around legacy programs, no McCaslin knew too much to be left alone. Or maybe, as according to Jason Sands, a man who understood exactly how these systems work decided that his only move was to ghost the system first. Until there's a sighting, a body, or a confession, William Neal McCaslin exists in the same liminal space as the phenomena he was rumored to guard. Somewhere between documented fact, classified reality, and the stories we tell in the dark to explain why people like him and the people who built the metals for his rockets suddenly disappear. If you enjoyed this episode, please rate and review this podcast and share it with a friend that you think would enjoy this episode. Follow me on social media at The Scarecast and email mike@thescarecast.com if you have anything you want me to look into or possibly cover on a podcast episode. As always, be safe out there, and until next time.